Willem Collins presents Life on Earth, The Greatest Story Ever Told, by David Attenborough, read by David Attenborough. Prologue. I still recall, with great clarity, the very first time I went to the tropics. Stepping out of the plane and into the muggy, perfumed air of West Africa was like walking into a steam laundry. Moisture hung in the atmosphere so heavily that my skin and shirt were soaked within minutes. A hedge of hibiscus bordered the airport buildings. Sunbirds, glittering with green and blue iridescence, played around it, darting from one scarlet blossom to another, hanging on beating wings as they probed for nectar. Only after I had watched them for some time did I notice, clasping a branch within the hedge, a chameleon, motionless except for its goggling eyes, which swiveled to follow every passing insect. Beside the hedge, I trod on what appeared to be grass. To my astonishment, the leaflets immediately folded themselves flat against the stem, transforming green fronds into apparently bare twigs. It was sensitive mimosa. Beyond lay a ditch covered with floating plants. In the spaces between them, the black water rippled with fish, and over the leaves walked a chestnut-coloured bird, lifting its long-toed feet with the exaggerated care of a man in snowshoes. Wherever I looked, I found a prodigality of pattern and colour for which I was quite unprepared. It was a revelation of the splendour and fecundity of the natural world from which I have never recovered. Since then, I've managed, one way or another, to get back to the tropics many times. Usually, my purpose has been to make a film about some corner of that infinitely varied world, so I have had the luck to find and film rare creatures that few outsiders have seen in the wild, and to gaze on some of the most marvellous spectacles that the wild places of the world have to offer. A tree full of displaying birds of paradise in New Guinea. Giant lemurs leaping through the forests of Madagascar. The biggest lizards in the world prowling like dragons through the jungle of a tiny island in Indonesia. Initially, the films we made tried to document the lives of particular animals, showing how each found its food, defended itself, and courted, and the ways in which it fitted into the community of animals and plants around it. But then the idea formed in my mind that a group of us might make a series of films that portrayed animals in a slightly different way. Our subject would not be only natural history, in the sense that those two words are normally used, but the history of nature. We would try to survey the whole animal kingdom and consider each great group of animals in the light of the part it has played in the long drama of life from its beginnings until today. This book originated from the 3 years of travelling and research that went into the making of those films. The condensation of 3,000 million years of history into 300 or so pages, and the description of a group of animals containing tens of thousands of species within one chapter, compels vast omissions. My method was to try to perceive the single most significant thread in the history of a group, and then concentrate on tracing that, resolutely ignoring other issues, no matter how enticing they may seem. This, however, risks imposing an appearance of purpose on the animal kingdom that does not exist in reality. Darwin demonstrates...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?